What's News? I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. On their first day in power, House Democrats passed some spending bills aimed at reopening the government. We'll get an update in a moment from The Wall Street Journal's Natalie Andrews. First, here are some headlines. Amid global tensions and stock market volatility, the U.S. labor market has been a sea of calm. The Labor Department said Friday that the economy added 312,000 non-farm jobs in December, with the unemployment rate rising to 3.9%. The job growth figure was higher than expected, and the rising jobless rate is an indicator that more people are looking for work. And average hourly earnings rose a seasonally adjusted 0.4% from November and 3.2% from December 2017, the best full-year gain since 2008. Gus Fauché is chief economist at PNC Financial Services Group. He says robust hiring indicates that despite trade issues and the government shutdown, the nation's economy will remain strong.
I think there's a lot of geopolitical uncertainty out there, but I think the economic fundamentals remain good. I would expect, absent a much bigger geopolitical shock, that the U.S. economy will continue to expand in the near term.
And Fauché says the Federal Reserve will remain cautious with regard to raising interest rates in 2019.
I still think, given the volatility that we're seeing in the stock market right now, that I would expect that the Fed is going to take its time in raising rates. So we don't expect to see another increase in the Fed funds rate until the second half of 2019, because I think the Fed has a little more room to be cautious and respond to some of the volatility that we've seen in the stock market.
Speaking of the Fed, Chairman Jerome Powell said Friday that muted inflation will give the central bank patience and greater flexibility to set policy in the year ahead, and that the Fed wasn't on a fixed path to push its benchmark interest rate higher. Mr. Powell's comment was in response to a question about the recent market volatility. The chairman was speaking on a panel with former Fed leaders at a conference in Atlanta. Also, Mr. Powell addressed speculation that President Trump's unhappiness over monetary policy might lead to his removal as Fed chairman. Mr. Powell said he would not resign his post if Mr. Trump asked him to do so. Mr. Powell's mention of patience with regard to interest rates put a charge into financial markets Friday, with stocks soaring in a rebound from the previous day's massive sell-off. For the latest updates on stock markets, head to WSJ.com or WSJ Podcasts. Ford is recalling more than 953,000 vehicles worldwide to replace Takata passenger airbag inflators that can explode and hurl shrapnel. The move includes 782,000 vehicles in the U.S. Included are the 2010 Ford Edge and Lincoln MKX, the 2010 and 2011 Ford Ranger, and the 2010 to 2014 Ford Mustang. At least 23 people have been killed worldwide by the inflators. Ford said it doesn't know of any injuries in vehicles included in this recall. Dealers will replace the inflators. Still ahead, we'll talk about the start of the new congressional session. On Congress's first day in session and on their first day in power, House Democrats passed a spending package aimed at reopening the federal government. The two measures rebuffed President Trump's demands for border wall funding. The Senate's unlikely to take up the House bills, as Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he won't consider any bill that Mr. Trump won't sign. Joining us from Capitol Hill is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Natalie Andrews. Natalie, as we speak, President Trump met again Friday with congressional leaders, and that meeting has concluded.
Well, we have what we heard from the Democrats who left the White House, and McConnell just walked through the Capitol doors and chatted for a minute, which is uncharacteristic of him. McConnell said the president agreed to designate his top aides to sit down with all of the leadership aides this weekend to see if they can come up with some agreement to recommend back to the congressional leaders. So we know there's going to be work that happens over the weekend. A Democratic aide disputed that this was anything new. He said that this is something that's been going on. So we don't know. Schumer left the White House saying that Trump indicated that he could keep the government shutdown going for days, weeks, a long time. So we really didn't end this meeting with any sort of deal that could lead to a solution.
Right. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said there was a lengthy and sometimes contentious discussion with President Trump at the White House. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer essentially implored the president not to keep the government closed for this long.
Yes, they were indicating that it is hurting federal employees, and we are looking at this January 11th date. That would be the first missed payment. paycheck for a lot of federal employees. It would also mark the longest shutdown in recent history. And so it seems that next week when Congress comes back, they will have those headlines kind of hanging over them, wanting to avoid.
Let's reiterate to talk about what's on the table. House Democrats have passed two measures to refund the government.
Yes, last night the House Democrats on their first day in the new majority passed two measures. One was a package that included six spending bills that were crafted in the Senate by the Republican-led Senate that would fund most of the government through September. And keep in mind, other spending bills have already passed, which is why we're in a partial shutdown. And then they had a separate vote just on Department of Homeland Security funding, and that would be just a stopgap spending bill through February 8th. The idea on that is to say, hey, we're just going to fund this for a few weeks, and in that few weeks, let's have a conversation about the border and security, but let's do it while people are getting paid. It is a political maneuver because the president hasn't said he would sign it. It doesn't have universal agreement. McConnell called it a time-wasting act of political posturing today. So it does not look like it's moving forward.
And all these bills are separate, of course, from a bill that was essentially agreed to in Congress to reopen the government. And Senate Republicans agreed to it. And President Trump said he would veto it.
Yes. And well, President Trump said he would veto what the House passed last night or threatened to. And before we even got into this government shutdown place, the Senate did pass a bill unanimously that would fund the government through February 8th. And it appeared we weren't going to shut down. But then Donald Trump reversed his posture a day later.
Right. Now, let's talk about something else here. Public opinion is basically leaning toward trying to get the government reopened as soon as possible.
Yeah, no one likes a shutdown. And lawmakers know that. They have the pressure. They have constituents calling them. I talked to one lawmaker today from Maryland who said that while one of his constituents was deemed essential, and so she was having to go to work, but the daycare that she takes her child to was deemed unessential. And so even though she has to go to work during the shutdown, she's scrambling to try to figure out what to do with her children. And that kind of story is resonating for lawmakers all over. Most of them have federal employees of some sort in their districts, and they're really hearing from constituents about it.
Let's see, the bills would reopen the nine federal agencies affected by the shutdown, EPA, Department of Justice, State, Housing and Urban Development, Transportation, Treasury, Agriculture, Commerce, and the Interior. So, you know, that's obviously hundreds of thousands of workers.
Yeah, it covers a wide swath of people, from people at national parks to TSA agents at the airports. It's a broad group of people that are looking at missing a paycheck.
What kind of pressure is Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky under? He is the Senate Majority Leader. He has the power to, you know, move bills forward or stop bills in their tracks.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of pressure he feels. He also doesn't want to get burned by the president. He passed a bill with unanimous consent on the Wednesday before Christmas, and Trump then turned around and said he wouldn't sign it. So Mitch McConnell is looking for a way that he can get something done and not get burned. He doesn't want to put something through the Senate that the president's going to reject. They're both Republicans. He's not in the mood to pressure the president on this. He wants them to have some unity. He's also looking at a reelection, and Donald Trump has a really high approval rating in Kentucky.
So as it stands right now, the dispute is obviously over whether to fund a border wall, and it seems like there is no movement on this at all. Are there going to be some sort of negotiations coming over the weekend?
It does look like staff members are going to be talking over the weekend. The House and the Senate have adjourned for the weekend, so lawmakers are headed home. You can probably find more of them at the D.C. airport than in the Capitol right now. The Senate is going to convene on Tuesday, and so Mitch McConnell seemed to think that maybe staff members could propose a plan then, and maybe they could take votes next week.
And chances are, if they're in the airport, they're going to be running into TSA workers who aren't being paid.
Yes, a lot of them have brought that up, whether it's to thank the TSA workers for working or just that they're having conversations with people that they know. These are lawmakers that fly home every weekend and fly back to D.C. They know these people, and they're hearing their stories.
And after the meeting, President Trump held a news conference in the Rose Garden, and he characterized the meeting.
So we had a productive meeting today. We're going to be meeting. I've designated a group, and we're going to be meeting over the weekend, that group, to determine what we're going to do about the border.
Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Natalie Andrews joining us from Washington. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.